This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
And coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. You know, I've been asking myself this question, and I don't know why the other woke people aren't asking, because I'm not woke, or either that or I've been awake for 59 years. I've been looking into the question for my answer, that my great reactive, you know, the great reaction in the activism culture topics to completely explain the left's crimes and misdemeanors. And I found it at Powerline's The Weekend Picture Systemic Meme Edition. It is this. The left controls every major institution in America, mainstream media, academia, administrative government, Hollywood, big tech. So if institutional racism really does exist, whose fault would that be? Ever thought of it that way? I mean, they're out there. They have all of those things. Whose fault? Obama's bitter clingers? Hillary Clinton deplorables? A cabal of NRA members holed up in a secret gun range? A coven of white witches flying to a secret meeting place somewhere over the rainbow? Maybe. Just maybe the answer is right in front of our faces. That the major institutions in America, the system, if you like, have not in fact been helping to end racism in America. Instead, they've been systematically making it worse, creating it where it doesn't exist. Mainstream media have been giving airtime for decades to straight-up racists like Reverends Jackson and Sharpton. Academia has been counting the number of racists on the head of a pin with this intellectual fog of grievance studies and postmodern rubbish. Administrative government has been administering the straight-up racism of quotas, affirmative action, goals and timetables, diversity and inclusion. Hollywood insists on casting black people as scientists and women as superheroes. Big tech has been hiring South Asians by the upper caste Brahmin load, but when it could have been hiring black people from the hood. Here we are. 50 years after the Civil Rights Acts, and Atlanta is burning. Didn't Atlanta already burn in that recently canceled movie about the Civil War? Now, I'm not saying that mainstream media, academia, administrative government, Hollywood, big tech, should be canceled and shamed in a Cultural Revolution-style struggle session. No. But I'm going to invoke the words of Oliver Cromwell, who said, "I beseech you in the bowels of Christ, think it possible that you may be mistaken." So let me just float this out here. You know, I know this is going way beyond the pale for some people. If they're listening right now in the cars, I mean, later on tonight, this will be heard in Seattle, in Chud or Chad or whatever they're called. Chod? What are they? Anyway, what if lefties and liberals and progressives and wokies and Chadites, your solutions for the race problem are all wrong, and all they do is make things worse? My question becomes, how would we know? How could we tell? All right, social science is in the middle of the replication crisis. Yeah. Maybe it's time for another Cromwell quote. "You have sat too long for any good you've been doing lately. Depart. I say, and let us have done with you. In the name of God, go. Let's start with a few principles, shall we? All of you equality seekers, government is force, and politics is division. And you think you can fix systematic racism with force and division, lefties? You think so? It gets worse if you accept my notion that the left is a great reaction, a lurch back to the primitive, where socialism has returned to slavery and the welfare state has returned to feudalism, which are both things, of course, they want. And reparations is a rebirth of vengeance. Quotas are a return to nepotism, so of course the left makes things worse. And then there's a critique of activism culture, that modern activism, with its mostly peaceful protest, is a revolutionary romance, play-acting long after the need for any sort of a revolution. A similar thing happened in the late Middle Ages when aristocratic courtiers lived, they lived to listen to medieval romances of the good old days, when the knights were bold and the damsels were in distress and swords were sticking out of stones all over. So, of course, activists want to make things worse. So if you want to go deep into the weeds, check out The Broken Spell by Peter Spierenberg. He says, and I'm going to freely interpret this, that if you want a return to the patriarchy, you will vote to defund the police. Get that, feminists? You got that? And who are the victims in all this? Because there must be a victim. I declare the victims to be the little darlings of the ruling class. First the workers, now the blacks, that we can see. And soon enough the women and the LGBTs and all these temple virgins are just there to serve as conveniences for the power lust of the temple priests. Rulers do not care about their mistresses, not after they lose their youthful look. And by the way, you defund the police chaps, I expect you have all checked the numbers for total government spending at usgovernmentspending.com for 2017, the last year with state and local actuals. Here we go. Healthcare, $1.5 trillion. Education, $1.1 trillion. Welfare, $449 billion. Total, nearly $4 trillion. Police services, or they list this as protection. That totaled out in all the categories, $288 billion. Police services, $140 billion. Fire protection services, $50 billion. Prisons, $85 billion. Public order and safety, $11.8 billion. So the evil police only get $140 billion with education and health care and welfare, aggregating up to $4 trillion. So, Chad, police services, federal, state, and local, only amount to a piddling 3.5% of the overall social services budget. Surely to God, they must be hiding some of this stuff somewhere, huh? These racist, sexist, homophobes. If you want to know where this systemic institutional racism comes from, who's in charge of the institutions? Who's in charge of all the things that they lay claim to? You know, how can there be all of this when we've had, everybody comes through education one way or the other, and that's just indoctrination, right? They're very up in arms about the whole homeschooling thing right now. They're very upset about the homeschooling thing. But that's neither here nor there. Neither here nor there. They're the problem. You're not the problem. You're not the problem, gun owners. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
firearms for sport, military, and law enforcement. 100% made in America parts and materials. We manufacture revolutionary three-position binary triggers that can be selected to fire on the pull and release, or set to fire normally. We strongly support and uphold our Second Amendment. We hope you do too. Get a 10% discount when you mention the code word lock and load at franklinarmory.com.
Protect, hunt, compete. This is the mantra of CZUSA, delivered via a lineup of superlatives with handguns proven to function in both real world and competitive settings. Rifles designed specifically for the mission, whether it is law enforcement or built for the plains of Africa. CZUSA has engineered peerless reliability into their superlative product line. Go to cz-usa.com and find out what serious shooters have known since 1991.
I'm here with Scott Youseum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishment sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Is Lock and Load. And I talked about this briefly in the last hour. I want to do it again because there's a lot of new gun owners out there. And listen, everybody starts somewhere. If you drive a car, if you fly a plane, you have that first time behind the wheel, that first solo flight. If you're like me, there's a lot of excitement and maybe a little bit of fear. For most people that have walked around all of their lives, not carrying a gun. When they finally get to the point where they do carry a gun, well, it's a little strange. It's a little bit odd. It's a new feeling. Carrying one on your person used to be a very rare thing, a very rare occasion. And I used to carry one in the car when I'd be traveling, because in South Carolina it's always been legal to carry one in the car. Carry permits were pretty uncommon, though. Then the carry revolution began in Florida and swept across most of the United States. Tennessee, with the incessant urging of gun owners across the state, enacted a permitted carry law. Initially, the 95 sheriffs of the state issued the permits. Had to get a bond in addition to the cost of training and permitting. Once you, you had to get the funds together to get the ball rolling on that, then you took the required course, paid for the bond, and went to the bowels of the city-county building in Knox County to get fingerprinted. Strangely, in those days, if you were being booked as a bad guy, you can get fingerprinted any time, but you had to set an appointment during business hours. So you would get that very expensive carry permit and start to carry a pistol. When you start to carry a pistol, you feel like everybody's looking at you. And you think to yourself, do they know I'm carrying a gun? Am I looking a little weird? I remember the first time I walked up on a police officer. I'm asking myself, do they know I'm carrying a gun? Do they think I'm a weirdo? Does he think I'm a bad guy? That police officer was oblivious to me and the 12-pound anvil on my hip and my decided list to starboard, but then he started perusing the magazines, too, that I was looking at, because I was looking at gun magazines. And they said, okay, I'm just an ordinary guy, I'm sitting there thinking I'm just participating in my right to carry a gun. Everything's cool. And as time went by, daily carrying of a handgun everywhere except where prohibited became routine, until I settled into the whole thing of I'm not even going to go where I can't carry, because I carry everywhere I go. So I don't go where I can't carry. And the time came when being without at least a little pistol in my pocket became odd and uncomfortable, like I forgot something. When I go to SHOT Show, because I was flying to SHOT Show, I did not want to go through the hassle of having a gun. I don't know, in Nevada, open carry is allowed. And I believe they recognize the South Carolina carry permit. However, you could walk around on the strip with something hanging on your neck for the most part, but in a lot of the hotels, you cannot carry a gun into the hotel. And if you're staying in a hotel like I was and going and working in a hotel like I was during SHOT Show, then, it made no sense for me to carry one. I won't do that again, though. Carrying a handgun is an awesome right and responsibility. And for most of human history, the powerful have ruled over the weak. Fists or blades have enabled brigands of all sorts to rob and rape and pillage at will. And the development of the repeating handgun, beginning in the middle of the 19th century, has changed that. The woman or the man of lesser body strength is able to project equalizing power. From Smithsonian Magazine, the old saying goes like this: God created men equal. Colonel Colt made them equal. So if you've been thinking about carrying a handgun and getting a permit in states where required, because 16 states don't require you to have a permit to actually carry in state, then you should go ahead and start the process. And you should, get training whether it's required or not. And I talk about going and getting training. You can get some good instructional videos, like Gunsight put some out. I'm sure Frontsight does. Thunder Ranch, I'm sure they all put out pretty good videos. You got to learn the four rules. Rule one, all guns are always loaded. Rule two, never let the muzzle cover anything which you are not willing to destroy. Rule 3, keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on the target. Rule 4, always be sure of your target and what's beyond it. Why, you may be asking, if I haven't carried a gun till now, why would I want to consider carrying a gun now? Well, I don't know if you haven't noticed, but we live in very unsettled times now. We were settled, and now we're unsettled. And we've got police stations being burned, and you've got insurrectionists taking over sections of cities. You really, truly, really, truly are now on your own. And you have to plan and act accordingly. If you're going to go out into society, you have to plan and act accordingly. And that's all there is to it. That's why you should do it. It's not, you don't carry a gun because it's trendy. You don't want to carry a gun because it's cool. As a matter of fact, it's actually pathetic that here we are in 2020, and for some reason the nature of man has not got us past the point to where we do have to carry a gun. But we do have to carry a gun. And there's no ands or ifs or buts about it. Because in the event that something begins in front of you, as Clint Smith says, the big problem we have is everybody's looking for a gun that they can carry comfortably. So it's all a race to the bottom. What's the smallest gun? How do we come up with this? And then they're always too big to carry, but there's never one that's too small to fight with. Or too big to fight with, excuse me. So, these are all things you've got to consider when you're doing this, but you've got to go ahead and just do it. Lots of people do. Lots of people do. Come join us, because we're the ones that are looking around. You might notice us from time to time. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
We know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At STI, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat, life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in a gunfight. No compromise, no sacrifice. STIguns.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
I am not done, but I have found a way to thrive. Elevate. Elevate is a wearable technology designed to mitigate your active lifestyle. Whether you're a professional athlete looking to enhance performance, a yoga practitioner wishing to gain more flexibility, or a person seeking natural ways to relieve pain.
Benefits encompass all walks of life and lifestyles.
Elevate is not a cure, but the IE-infused clothing will give you that extra percentage needed to help you get moving. For more information or to order, go to ElevateBill.com. Elevate, because I am not done yet.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Nearly half of the states are seeing a surge in COVID-19 cases, including Texas, Florida, Arizona, and Oklahoma. Some states are pumping the brakes on reopening and scaling things back when it comes to reopening. But according to Texas Governor Greg Abbott, a Republican, he says his state is looking okay when it comes to hospital beds.
Numerically, there is an abundant supply of beds that are available. We do not have to choose between either returning to jobs or protecting health care.
The Congressional Budget Office is reporting that the four emergency relief bills passed so far will add nearly $2.4 trillion to the deficit. And your final numbers on Wall Street at the closing bell. The Dow gained 527 points to close the day at 26,290. You're listening to USA Radio News. President Trump is banning chokeholds unless a police officer's life is at risk. It's part of the president's executive order that he signed on Tuesday that also sets up a national database to track law enforcement officers who have numerous excessive force complaints against them. Amid reopenings after the worst of the pandemic, retail sales have rebounded. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes is in Washington.
The Commerce Department says U.S. retail sales jumped by a record 17.7% from April to May, with spending partially rebounding after the coronavirus had shut down businesses and paralyzed consumers during the previous 2 months. Retail sales retracing some of the record-setting month-to-month plunges in March and April, but still the pandemic's damage to retail sales is severe. Purchases are still down by 6.1% from a year ago. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesce. The Luminesce anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
This is Lock and Load. This portion of the show is not brought to you by anybody. I don't know why I was doing that. Please forgive me. Habits. Habits die hard, I'm telling you. Recently, a new study was published that claimed three types of gun control could reduce firearm-related fatalities by up to 10%. This is the same kind of conclusion as the one about the face masks I talked about earlier. For the anti-gunners, this is big news because, you know, they believe everything. And this is something they are likely to jump up and down about and publicize until the cows come home. Because after all, many of these regulations are things they've been pushing for lawmakers to adopt for some time now. But there are problems with the study. Big problems. In fact, they're big enough that no one should act on anything just yet. From this, we get U.S. gun laws vary considerably by state. Some, like Kansas, allow citizens to carry firearms in public and make it legal for gun owners to shoot an assailant in self-defense in some situations known as the Stand Your Ground Doctrine. Others, like California, are more restrictive, limiting not only who is allowed to carry guns in public, but also access to firearms in the home by requiring safety devices like trigger locks or gun safes. This patchwork, combined with limited funding for research, has made it hard for scientists to predict the effects of gun laws on gun deaths, said Terry Schell, a senior behavioral scientist at the nonprofit RAND Corporation, which aims to improve public policy through research and analysis. To limit these problems, Schell and his colleagues focused on just three kinds of laws and one outcome: gun deaths per capita. To understand how laws affect death rates, they screen hundreds of existing and novel statistical approaches, finally zeroing in on a model that reduces statistical noise by paying special attention to how different variables affect deaths year by year rather than averaged over long periods of time. Once again, we're getting models for this. So they counted the number of gun deaths from all 50 states for each year from 1980 to 2016. They then examined each instance of a new law limiting or allowing right to carry, stand your ground, or child access state by state through 2013. Finally, they compared this with the mortality rate from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention for the next 6 years. So you might, you know, so some people going, so what's the big problem? They're not accounting for any other changes that may or may not have led to these differences. And there is absolutely no way to control these factors. Anybody who's lived in multiple states can tell you that while there are some things that are fairly universal across all American cities, there are also profound differences. And this includes a whole litany of laws, including gun control laws. Now, as it stands, it's impossible for any study to control for these factors while looking at whether a bit of gun control legislation works. For example, a reduction in joblessness can reduce violent crime all on its own, all without the first bit of gun control being passed. Yet, if gun control is passed around the same time, studies like this will chalk that up to the reduction in that crime to because of the gun control. And that's true even if there was evidence to suggest that the reduction might have been greater had the gun control law not gone into place. And, you know, while six of the top 10 safest states have gun control policies like the one espoused by the study, four of those 10 don't. And I call shenanigans on all of them being safest. Some of the states with the strictest gun control also have some of the most violent communities like Illinois and Maryland. The factors that contribute to firearm fatalities are complicated. And no study actually tries to look at other potential causes for any decrease in violent crime. Instead, they focus on guns, which guns are a tool. And they wonder why we think these studies are biased and don't want taxpayer money going toward these things. The whole thing with any gun control law is gun control laws only alter behavior of the law-abiding. They're not going to alter crime. They can never alter crime. To get out there and to actually alter crime, something else has to be thrown into this, into that mix. And, financial opportunity goes a long way. I don't know when this happened, but it happened in Louisiana. And I think the figure was either 2.5 or 3.5 billion or million. I can't ever remember that part either. Anyway, Bloomberg invested in a part of Louisiana somewhere around New Orleans. And what he did was he created jobs, right? One of the reasons to create jobs is because creating jobs brings down crime. Economic opportunity brings down crime. Always does. Inadvertently, while he's always loving some gun control, old Bloomberg, when he invested this money, the end result that we all seek, you know, I actually seek it. They purport to seek it. What they're actually looking for is they're looking for to change the behavior of a bunch of law-abiding people. They inadvertently got it, though. Bloomberg inadvertently got the safety, which he wasn't really seeking, but that was actually a byproduct of that. There are a lot of things that go into this. I'm almost certain that one of the problems that has led up to these riots is this 2.5 months of lockdown. I don't know if any of you've noticed, but as you are going about your day now in the post-lockdown era, a lot of people don't seem to have very good manners anymore. They seem to be angry. They seem to be out of sorts. Now, I must admit, I am a virtue signaling scofflaw. If somebody wants to virtue signal in front of me, well, they're going to have a very hard time of it because I'm going to give them just absolute grief over that. So the other day, I was in a Walmart. After all this time, we finally needed to get toilet paper. So I'm looking at this aisle. And they don't want me to go down the aisle the way I'm at the end of the aisle. I'm in the main feeding aisle of this aisle. But they want me to go down one aisle and turn up and come back the other way. Well, guess what? I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. So I go down the aisle the wrong way. And some man has to come up the aisle the right way to tell me that I've gone up the aisle the wrong way. Now, one of the things that I keep saying about the Polite Society podcast is I love the Polite Society podcast name simply because of where it comes from. It is from a saying that says an armed society is a polite society. Now, I can assure anybody out there that if you run into me out there in the world, I am armed and I am polite. I'm polite not because I'm afraid of you. I'm polite because that's the way I want you to treat me. And in the meantime, all of these, wannabe dictators and everything out there, they're looking at gun control. They're still salivating over gun control. I'm convinced gun control is dead. I'm sure they'll try for it. I'm sure they'll try for it. Maybe they'll take a knee in the halls of Congress and kneel somewhere about it. I don't know. Maybe they'll do a little more cultural appropriation to pander. I don't know. We're going to see. We are going to see. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Bill Frady here. In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone at any time. When it's your time, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For my personal protection, I recommend training at Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility, located near Las Vegas, Nevada. And due to our relationship with Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, I've arranged for you and your family to train there too, free of charge. Yes, it's true. Enter frontsight.com/radio into your computer browser to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course absolutely free of charge with no hidden surprises or catches. Enter frontsight.com/radio. After your first course at Frontsight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population. Guaranteed. Nobody does it better than Frontsight, but you must act before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. See you at Frontsight.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Last time on the firing line, coming to you live, this is Lock and Load. Whenever I travel, I carry something I call the Antifa Welcome Wagon Bag, and it is my hope, my true, sincere hope, that I never have to deploy said equipment out of said bag. However, if I were around Antifa, and they were about to do something, if I was observing something that they were about to do that I knew that was going to lead to death of innocent people, we're about to go loud. It is all too easy to laugh off these insurrectionists that have grabbed a few blocks of Capitol Hill in Seattle and built border walls and declared it an autonomous zone, now rebranded at least some there as an organized protest, which takes it to CHOP. I'm sorry, not CHUD, CHOP. And the coverage, as the media has offered, picked up on the mayor, Summer of Love, Jenny Duncan's view, who likened it to a block party. So a cottage industry of progressive media outlets targets Fox News, the only major national outlet that offers extensive coverage, for scorn and scoffs at the notion that there's anything to worry about. Coming from Politico, for instance, over the course of 2 evenings and an afternoon in the zone, plus a night observing a police-slash-protest showdown that was there the week before, seemed by turns like a commune, as in Paris, 1871, an anarcho-syndicalist and small-L libertarian dream, a 60s-style teach-in, a street fair, a street market, a camp-out, weekend party, a poetry slam and pilgrimage, a school service day, a mass healing circle, a humbler urban version of Burning Man, and, of course, a protest rally. You'd hardly guess all that from the breathless attention Fox has lavished from day one on this tiny strip of Seattle. For now, aside from reports of shakedowns of merchants and sporadic violence, the atmosphere seems mostly calm, even festive. Requests for donations of supplies demonstrate that this enclave is far from autonomous and depends on handouts from the society against which it rebels. But it's worth taking seriously the revolutionary dynamic that operates when the radicals declare the old laws and norms inoperative and proceed to implement their ad hoc version of utopia. And there was a sign that I saw out there. They were chanting about beheading people who don't get with the ideological program in the tradition of the blood-drenched French Revolution. The festive block party has gotten pretty dark, I'm afraid to say. And until our regime is toppled, and don't kid yourself, that is the goal of not only some of the demonstrators, but more importantly, the people who have been plotting for decades. The people on Capitol Hill are unlikely to be executed for insufficient revolutionary purity, especially considering that Trump threatens intervention if local authorities do nothing. But what about the isolated compounds that may or may not exist where radicals who believed in armed struggle, as the Puget Sound John Brown Gun Club seems to embrace? We have a vivid example of the revolutionary dynamic among Marxist rebels that took place almost half a century ago in Japan, a period where a lot of people follow those events closely. The United Red Army, or Rengo Sekiguna in Japanese, was a revolutionary faction that formed out of a merger between two earlier mostly campus-based groups, attempted to bring about a communist revolution through airliner hijacking and hostage-taking, armed violence, they obtained the guns by robbery, launching violent attacks on the police, sound familiar to you right now, and other symbols of the establishment. The fantasy was that the capitalist oppression was so severe in Japan that the populace would rise up in support once the powerlessness of the state was demonstrated. All of which was poppycock, of course, but garnered considerable sympathy from the academic and media circles, who were then nearly as left-leaning as our own media and academia are today. A major contributing factor was the sole force that resisted the military takeover of Japan and resulting fascism was the Japan Communist Party, whose leaders were jailed and killed during the war. This lent some enormous prestige and credibility to the Marxists in post-war Japan as the nation dealt with its excursion into totalitarianism and subsequent catastrophic defeat. In late 1971, the URA operated out of rural training camps where they practiced their violent tactics and began began the process of what they called self-criticism. Eventually, they abandoned the rural and ended chased and holed up in a mountainside inn. And it led to the execution, though, of those insufficiently radical. Noah Ostro wrote of this process. He said, they found the bodies in the snowy foothills of the Japanese Alps. The police had already been tracking the revolutionaries for some time, and after the radical leftist group, now known as the United Red Army, had hijacked Japan Airlines Flight 351, and with an important government hostage in stow, had managed to divert the plane to North Korea, they had emerged as Japan's public enemy number one. The national police were internationally embarrassed, and they had redoubled their focus on the underground group. And finally, the police found, in the snowy mountains of Gunma Prefecture, signs and other things of them. They spent trudging through the snowdrifts after rumor and speculation proved fruitful. They had managed to discover the URA's remote and recently abandoned hideouts. They found signs that 30 people lived there, but they also pointed to something far darker. When they finally caught them in the mountains in Nagano Prefecture for what would become one of Japan's most shocking hostage situations, the detectives examining the scene at the abandoned inn began to recognize the telltale signs of acts of violence. They found shreds of clothing that had been cut off various people, a common method for removing the clothes of those with whom rigor mortis had set in, making the usual removal of clothing impossible. And the staining on the garments also demonstrated they'd likely been worn in the last moments of the wearers' lives. And there was a large quantity of personal items and baggage mysteriously remaining there, including the sorts of hiking backpacks that those fleeing the inn would have likely taken with them. But they didn't find the bodies. And as they continued to chase them, they finally caught up to them and the location of the 12 people they killed for not being pure enough. That was revealed by the now-captured URA members. And the final siege at the mountainside was televised live in Japan. And it was the Japanese public saw this too. And everybody was gripped by the spectacle and the ultimate horror of the orgy of violence that gripped the radicals in their version of an autonomous zone. Do you think that can happen here? Do you believe that? Do you think that can't occur in any one of these CHAZ areas, these autonomous zones? On the upside, in the end, the spectacle dealt a severe setback to radicalism in Japan. In the public's eyes, it was discredited, and perhaps causing some reflection on the part of those who had sympathized with them, including those in the media. Now, I don't expect that much awareness from people here, nor should you. But what would you do if you're in one of these zones, if you find yourself in one of these zones and you're strapped like I do, and all of a sudden you start to see them rolling out a guillotine with a bunch of people with their hands tied behind their back? What do you do? But do you think it can happen here? That's the big question. I'm not sure that it can't. They seem to be able to do whatever they want anyway, right? We will be back again in 21 hours, and between now and then, if you could, please consider this. It has never been about gun control, not once, not ever. It has been, it's always going to be, about total control. This has been Lock and Load. Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard. At Chambers Custom, we have one job. We strive to build the most obsessively reliable, accurate, and beautiful pistols for the discriminating gun owner. Fusing the ageless 1911 design with a 21st century approach to each part and component, Chambers Custom meticulously begins each pistol as a standalone project, creating a bespoke, handcrafted, peerless firearm. They integrate all of the internal, external, and intrinsic elements that make a custom 1911 unique. Go to ChambersCustom.com. Chambers Custom, truly the mechanical advantage.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.